Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. Now, typically during this time, you hear me with my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, but he's going to get the day off, and I'm going to introduce you to a new feature that we're currently airing on WGNN. It's been about a month or so since the Moody Broadcasting Network eliminated their program Today in the Word. Now, for our longtime WGNN listeners, they used to listen to Conference Echoes, then it got changed to Today in the Word. And during this program, they would feature guest speakers, lecturers, authors, some of the best golden oldie messages you ever heard. But that all ended, and so after prayer and some various options, we elected to broadcast the program Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. So today I'll introduce you to a message that he gave a few weeks back that I thought was really good. It's part of his sermon series, Five Lies That Ruin Relationships. He's using James chapter 4 as his text, and today's message is Why We Wound Others with Our Words. So here's Chip Ingram, senior pastor of Venture Christian Church in Los Gatos, California.
You know that little rhyme, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me? That is absolutely wrong. The fact of the matter is, words can literally kill your soul. There is life and death in the power of words. We want to talk about how to deal with those wounds that you receive and how to stop them from coming out of your mouth and mine. That's today. Why is tearing others down by our speech and judgmental attitudes? Are you ready for this? One of the most serious sins mentioned in Scripture. Underline that, will you? One of the most serious sins. I mean, you know, we think, you know, it's adultery, it's murder, those are big. I'm telling you, from God's perspective, speaking down, slandering, leaving people in a negative light is one of the most serious sins in all of Scripture. And then he's going to give us two reasons. Reason number one, because it demonstrates total disregard and contempt for God's highest command to love one another. You say, well, where do you get that? Look what the text says. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. When we speak against or tear down or criticize or defame or gossip about someone else, what we do is we put ourselves in the role of judge. In other words, this is the facts. To be a judge, you really need to know all the facts, all the circumstances, people's motives, their hearts, what came before, what all the situations and circumstances could be. And then based on all the knowledge and them and the other parties, you make a judgment. Who's the only person that knows everything about everything? God. He says, when you speak and tear down people, the only way you can tear them down and slander them is you have to step back, look at the situation, make yourself the judge, the evaluator, the righteous one, the all-knowing one, and you communicate this as, this is the way it is. And he says, when you do that, you speak not only against the person, you speak against the law. And when you judge the law, he says, instead of you keeping it and you doing what God wants you to do and me doing what God wants me to do, you're sitting in judgment on it. Now say to yourself, well, aren't there some times where we're supposed to judge? Yeah, Romans 13, civil authorities are to judge in civil matters. Well, aren't there times where there's a problem and I need to address it? Yes, Matthew 18. I need to judge, not in judging the person's motives or what he's doing, but if I see someone who is sinning, my role is not to tell anyone else. What's Matthew 18 say? I go to the person in an attitude of love and say, I observe this. I don't have all the facts. I'm concerned that your life and Scripture aren't lining up. And knowing how much God loves you and knowing the reputation of Christ is at stake, I'm obeying Matthew 18:15 to come to you in love. And if he doesn't respond, you go back with the witness, right? If he doesn't respond to the witness, you take it to the leaders of the church. And there's a real clear way to handle that. So there is a role for judging. But what this is talking about is this is fault-finding, condemning, and judgment that condemns another as wrong in God's sight. This is judging another person's motives with the goal of lowering how people look at this person by what comes out of your mouth or what comes out of my mouth. And what's the royal law? In James 2:8, he talks about the royal law. In Leviticus 19, we know the royal law. The royal law is what? To love one another. The second reason is because it reveals that we are in fact playing God. You say, wow, now that is serious. You mean when I just sort of gossip and say negative things about a person as I'm driving home from church, you mean that around the water cooler when I come out of a meeting with the boss and I say negative, critical, harsh, difficult things? Do you? Yes. We are usurping God's authority and his unique role as judge, as lawgiver, when we speak against someone else. When I begin to grasp how serious this was, I have begun to pray, oh God, will you begin to filter what comes out of my mouth? In fact, would you begin to stop things in my mind before they just unconsciously roll off my tongue? Because when I just make a little innuendo, when I use a tone of voice, when I say something that's, quote, just my opinion, but I don't know the facts, and when I get done and someone thinks less of another person, when I've caused their status and their esteem and their value to go down, I am kata against tearing down, speaking against them. And James says, stop it. We become the judge. That's God's role. We violate the most and highest important commandment is to love one another when this comes out of our mouth. The two most common areas I find that this happens in the church is number one, the rumor mill, and number two, gray areas. I don't know any organization that you can share something with one person within 3 days. And if you want to make sure everybody hears about it, don't tell anyone. This is highly confidential. By the way, gossip is passing on untested truth. If you don't know it's 100% true, don't pass it on. And by the way, we'll learn later, don't receive it. The other is there are gray areas, aren't there? Romans 14. We come from different backgrounds. And Romans 14 says, if it doesn't violate Scripture, then let each man be judged according. Let him live by faith. And let that person give an account to God. And I don't mean we shouldn't have convictions. I have very clear convictions on a lot of gray areas. I have learned and have come to determine before God there are certain things that I will do and certain things I will not do that are gray. I mean, I don't have any commands, but those are my personal convictions. But what I've had to learn is other people who love God more than me may have different convictions. And if I disagree with those and start talking down about them to other people, I've violated the royal law of love, number one, and number two, I've judged them. And God says in Romans 14, who are you to judge the servant of another? Well, let's get to the solution side. How do we break the habit of playing God? How do we get out of this? It's very clear, very simple, but it's going to take a real strong conviction from your heart to get there. Step number one, develop convictions about speaking against others. I don't mean beliefs. I don't mean intentions. I don't mean I'm going to really try harder. Develop convictions. A conviction is something that's deep in your heart and deep in your soul. And you say, of all the issues in my life, and you have convictions, I pray, about lying. You have convictions about purity. You have convictions about how you're going to raise your kids. Develop convictions about speaking against others. Matthew 7, 1 and 2 says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure, or literally the basket or the scoop, the size of container that you use, it will be measured to you. This is about the kind of judgments where you don't have all the facts and you make assumptions and you judge them in your heart. Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I remember memorizing that verse, and I got scared. Every careless word. And all of a sudden, the light started to come on. Ingram, I'll tell you what, you think there's these like big, big sins, and this is huge. I'm going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. And the careless little words that put people down, that tear them down, that are sarcastic, that begin to look, make them be seen in a negative light, that plant seeds of distrust and disloyalty in other people, that pit people on your side and do things, develop convictions. The second thing, step two, ponder the consequences of your speech. Jesus says the very last night on the earth, a new commandment I give to you, he says to his disciples, love one another as I've loved you. so you must love one another. It is by this that men will know that you're my disciples. How? If you love one another. Jesus' greatest commandment is love. His last prayer on earth in John 17, Father, make them one, even as we are one. I in you and you in me. May the world see their what? Their unity. Words that build up, words that are encouraging, words that are inclusive, words that have to do with we are a team, we belong to God, not words that tear down. And so I have thought to myself, it's not about even the impact on me. When I bicker, when I have backstabbing, when I'm divisive, I break God's heart. And I undermine the very testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why this is so serious. Third, refuse to buy the lie. Remember that lie? That it's someone else's problem. There's a problem. This is why it comes out of my mouth. This is why it comes out of your mouth. Refuse to buy the lie that if someone else would shape up, then things would be all right. Notice what it says in Romans 2:3. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? See, it's not their fault necessarily. Maybe it's partly their fault. But over and over, if so-and-so would do this, then things would shape up. You know, if my wife would just do this, if my husband would do this, if my kid would do this, if our pastor would do this, and if you buy that, I will guarantee stuff will come out of your mouth that will be destructive because the assumption is you're the judge. You have all the facts. I mean, you would never say, I just want everyone to know right now, I'm the smartest, wisest, most knowledgeable person who makes the best decisions about every area and every relationship and every circumstance at all times. Here I am. No one would stand up, would you? But when I judge and believe that the problem is completely the other person's fault, and then stuff comes out of my mouth, what am I doing? I'm by fiat saying, that's what I believe about myself. So develop convictions. Ponder the consequences. Refuse to buy the lie. Step number four, refuse to let others gossip. This is a hard one. I still remember the first time I watched this happen in my life. And it's still difficult for me. When someone starts sharing things that are inappropriate, even in your heart when you know it's inappropriate, it's kind of like, what do you do? Hey, do you realize you're sinning really big right now? Knock it off. No, that won't work. You know, you're a really mature Christian person that I like a lot, but you're acting like a jerk. No, that won't work. And so a lot of times someone is sharing stuff that you know is inappropriate, and then you find your head's nodding. Guess when your head's nodding and they're sharing something inappropriate, the message you are sending is, keep it coming. I agree with this. So you think, oh, okay, I'm going to hold my head still and try and change the subject. You know what it takes? It takes courage.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and Chip will be right back. But we want you to know that we have a convenient way for you to access Chip's teaching. The Chip Ingram app delivers daily broadcasts, Chip's message notes, and much more. To check out the free Chip Ingram app, visit us at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with the rest of today's talk.
I was in an elders meeting early in my pastoral years, and a godly, godly man, a guy named Bill Carter. I'll probably talk about him a lot. God brought him to that church to teach me how to be a pastor, along with other elders. And we were as elders, you know, I think there were six or seven, and we were talking about a situation, and it was about a person, and it wasn't a person in our church, and it was a very clear situation. And the conversation, it was talking just like people talk, and it was winding around, and I watched Bill get real quiet. And then, you know, it was winding around and developing, and no one has a problem. These are godly guys. They all love God. We had hour of prayer and Bible study before we started. We're in the Spirit. And Bill says, excuse me, gentlemen, my best understanding of Scripture, that our discussion of this person is inappropriate in that we are not a part of the problem, nor are we a part of God's solution. And I think the definition of Scripture with regard to gossip is passing on or dealing with information where we're not a part of the problem or the solution. You know, maybe it'd be a good time to stop and pray for this person and continue with our meeting. And what I learned was, in a winsome way, when people start telling you information, you can kind of put up the stop sign and say, you know something? I know you probably are doing this from sincere motives, so you don't judge them. You know, maybe it's not, but I'll tell you what. I'm not a part of the solution, and I'm not part of the problem. My best understanding of Scripture is that you need to go directly to that person. And this is inappropriate for you to share for the sake of Jesus and his church and for the sake of that person. So if you don't mind, could we talk about something else and give them an alternative? But you know what? When you start doing that, it's amazing how little people will gossip around you. And is there an uncomfortable moment? Yes. Is there a sting to this person? Yes. Guess what? That's good. It's like an antiseptic. It's like an antibiotic in the body of Christ. Step number 5, and this is a good one, talk less. I mean, really, this is a discipline. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But he who holds his tongue is wise. This actually was one of the areas where I was bothering my wife. We've been in a lot of social settings, and people will ask me a question. You know, we're with two other couples, right? And they'll ask me a question about the ministry. And I'll just, I mean, it's on my heart, and I'm excited, and, oh, man, this is what's happening in South Africa, and we were just in Nigeria, and we had 1,000 pastors here. And she goes, Chip, man, how do we ever have, you know, it just bugs me. Can't you have a short answer and kind of allow a little ebb and flow and relationship? And, you know, it did hurt my feelings. And she was right. And so last night, this is good. Last night we're having dinner and someone asked me a ministry question. And I started in and I went do. And I got about halfway through my normal, they got to hear everything about what God's doing. And I got halfway through and a little light came on about our conversation. And by the grace of God, I just went, stop. I didn't say near as much as I wanted to. And I actually thought, I probably went about 40% more than I should have, but it's progress. Talk less. Notice what it says. This is a great summary. I love it here in the Living Bible of this passage. Don't criticize and speak evil about each other, dear brothers. If you do, you'll be fighting against God's law of loving one another, declaring it wrong. But your job is not to decide whether the law is right or wrong, but to obey it. Only he who made the law can rightly judge among us. He alone decides to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge or criticize others? Hasn't that captured what we've learned? Wouldn't it be great to just memorize that little verse or two right there out of the Living Bible? And can I ask you a question as we close? Is there anybody that you realize after hearing this message that you need to apologize to? Is there any person that you realize you have put in a negative light? And this will not be easy, but I mean, it'll cleanse your soul. That you may need to write a note to, have a breakfast with, or a phone call. And what I've learned is it's really hard, but I've just gotten to where, you know, hey, Bob, this is Chip. I was in a meeting yesterday, and, you know, brother, I'm really working on this. But in that meeting, your name came up, and I didn't say anything really bad or harsh or this or that, but someone asked a question, and it came out of my mouth, and this is what I said, and it really cast you in a negative light. I've gone back to tell those people that I'm sorry, but I felt prompted by God to tell you, brother, I want to keep short accounts. I'm very, very sorry. It wasn't personal. It just sort of popped out of my mouth, and I would ask you to forgive me. And I will tell you, when you make that a practice, you'll find it's a lot easier to say less.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you're thinking, what happened to Mark and Jason? Well, I'm introducing you to a new feature that's carried on WGNN at 10 a.m. as the Moody Broadcasting Network, some time back, eliminated Today in the Word. And so we've included Chip Ingram with his program Living on the Edge into our broadcast schedule. And so Monday through Friday at 10 a.m., you can hear him on WGNN 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM. And so today I thought I would feature him as his passion and desire is to help Christians live like Christians. Today's message is titled, Why We Wound Others with Our Word, with James 4 as our text. And you can find out more about Chip and his ministry, Living on the Edge, at livingontheedge.org. Here's Chip Ingram with some final thoughts.
What we talked about in today's message is very easy to grasp intellectually. I mean, it's not difficult to say, I'm going to develop convictions, I'm going to ponder the consequences, you know, I'm going to apologize if necessary, I'm just going to start talking less. I mean, you can go online and, you know, get those notes and you know, maybe even run them off and put them in your Bible and look at those verses. Intellectually, if you really want to get a hold of your tongue, and if, you know, the scripture says, if you get a hold of your tongue, your whole life will really begin to fall into alignment with God's will. But emotionally, my experience is what I just talked about feels impossible. I mean, it feels impossible. And part of it is if The Spirit of God is at work in your heart and my heart, and we hear this teaching out of James. I can't imagine not having some people come to mind that you realize part of this is going to apologize to them. I mean, at the very end, I talked about, you know, literally going to some people and talking to them or calling up and having a breakfast or writing a letter or a phone call. And please don't text this one, okay? I mean, that's just a weenie's way out. I mean, hey, I'm really sorry. It's got to be beyond that. But here's what I have to say is that it is so difficult to do this that you need to grasp the reality that often the greatest relationships you will ever have in your life will be birthed out of a moment of vulnerability when you humble yourself and say you're sorry. And this is a bizarre picture that came to my mind as I was listening and thinking about this message. But I was a little boy about 8 or 9 years old, and we moved into a new neighborhood. And I had a brand new cowboy hat, and it was felt, and it was really good. And I saved up my money, and this kid grabbed my cowboy hat, and he put worms in it. I mean, it rained, and the worms had come out. And he was a lot bigger than me. And so we had this fight, and I can still remember, you know, it was like a movie, a ring of kids around screaming. You know, I'm the tiny little skinny kid, and he's kind of the big kid, and he's sitting on me. And I can't get him off. And we're fighting and fighting and fighting, and some parents come out and break us up. And his name was Kevin. Kevin became my best friend. That conflict, that moment of him grabbing my hat and our parents forced us to apologize, Kevin King became one of my closest friends all my years growing up, and it started out of conflict. You know, when you humble yourself, when you go to that person and you so fear the things that might happen, I will tell you, people feel safe with other people who own their stuff, who humble themselves, and with their eyes watering say, you know something, you're my boss, or you're my mate, or you're my sister, you're my friend. I said this about you, and I'm so ashamed. Will you please forgive me? And I will purpose in my heart not to do that again. I will tell you, your stock doesn't go down. Your stock goes up. And imagine what God can do when grace flowing downhill as you humble yourself and own your stuff. Would you consider making the hard decision and doing what you heard God say as you heard the teaching today, even though it scares you to death?
That was Chip Ingram, a new feature on WGNN at 10 a.m. The program is titled Living on the Edge. I heard this message a few weeks ago and thought it was very powerful, convicting, and helpful as we try to live the Christian life. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.